Good morning. This is different in a morning and not an afternoon. Thank you for joining me today. I'm joined by Secretary Johnny Key of Department of Education and, of course, Secretary Jose Romero of the Department of Health. We have a couple of points to make today. This should be a little bit briefer than normal because whenever the cases are going down, there's not a whole lot of news there. But let me start by expressing something that I believe is on the mind of really all Arkansans, and that is what we see unfolding in Ukraine. And I want to express my unequivocal support for the people of Ukraine as they strive to protect their independence, their sovereignty, and their freedom. Our prayers are with them. The United States needs to be clear in its unequivocal support for Ukraine. We need to be clear in our condemnation of Russia and the actions that they have taken, and we must impose the most severe sanctions that's available to us and understand that this is not a short-term concern, but this is a long-term concern with the actions that Russia has taken under the leadership of Mr. Putin. With that, let me make a comment on the weather that's been challenging for us this last week. We actually came through the winter storms very well as compared to what could have happened. The counties that have been most severely impacted have been Cross, Crittenden, Lee, Monroe, St. Francis, and Woodruff counties. They've been hit the hardest with downed trees and power lines, and the utility companies have been working very hard to bring our utility customers back online. We still have 28,000 in the state without power, but because the storm has subsided, the National Guard mission will be terminated today at noon. They were very instrumental in being pre-positioned, but also they rescued about a dozen motorists during this time. So I appreciate the work of the National Guard, but also the work of our utility companies and those that are on working so hard to restore power. With that, let me address the issue of COVID. And first, I had conversation with Dr. Walensky today, and I know that she will be making an announcement later today in terms of new guidelines that the CDC will be offered. And I have advocated for probably a month for the United States to move away from the pandemic state to a more normal state of operations and management of infections related to COVID. And I know the CDC has worked very hard in revising their guidelines. We'll be anxious to see the report that they give today. But we do need to move from the pandemic to a more normal state. And I think that's true across the board, whether you're looking at a Democrat governor saying that or whether you're looking at a Republican governor. That's where we are in America, and certainly Arkansas has moved to that more normal state of management and infection control, and hopefully the CDC guidelines will reflect that today. With that, I did want to show, if you back up once, I think you already seen the affected counties, so we'll go ahead and stay here. Now, those are the affected counties that I mentioned, and then if you'll go to the next cases since Tuesday, which continues the path of reduced number of new cases each day. Our active cases continue to go down. Our deaths are, that's about 25 each day, way too high, but again, it's that lagging indicator, and we are anxious for that to go down because that reflects a family that have lost a loved one because of COVID. Next, you'll see our vaccinations, which I know Dr. Romero will make additional comments on this, but our vaccinations continue to go at a very slow pace. We have, in the last 3 days since Tuesday, given out 3,800. That's about 1,300 a day in terms of our doses. We like to see that a lot higher. We want to continue to increase our vaccination rate. And you'll see from the data that that is the one thing that can give us a greater sense of protection from the infection, from hospitalizations, and from death. If you look at the hospitalizations, we've gone down 120 in the last 3 days. Those in ventilators have gone down 13. Testing continues. I look at the PCR testing from this month, 101,000. I remember back in the early days and when we were still getting this going that 100,000 is still a lot of PCR tests. You add the 54,000 antigen tests to that for the month, and it's still, the tests are still a very important part of what we're doing to identify where the challenge is that we face. I just wanted to illustrate that to the public that please, if you want daily information, go to the Department of Health. This is just a picture of the website. This is vaccination information that is daily updated, and then you can scroll to a different page that will have the new cases. You can find the deaths. You can find all of the data that's available day by day on the website if you want to follow it that closely. We'll be reporting it about once a week, but you can find it from the Department of Health website every day. We're still continuing to be transparent, want all the data that's out there available to the public as we have it. Next, you'll see the trend line, which is important to note. You can see the Omicron variant and how high it reached, and now we're down to the point that it's the same level it was before Omicron started. And you'll see that trend, go ahead next, you'll see the trend line in a different way, and this is from the very beginning of the pandemic in March of 2020. You can see how it went up with first surge and then the second Delta surge and then the Omicron surge, and we're back down to the state that's not as low as it was last summer, but we trust we will get there. Then the next one would be the hospitalizations, and you can see we're not at our lowest point by any means, but our trend line is very steeply going down. Active cases, the same point, down to 9,972 active cases. And then, go ahead, next one. This is the one that shows the lesson about those that have been fully vaccinated and those who have not been fully vaccinated. Of the new infections, 72% of the new infections have not been fully vaccinated. Hospitalizations, 80% have not been fully vaccinated. Deaths, 80% of the deaths have not been fully vaccinated. And this is by age category, and hopefully this will be an encouragement to everyone. You see the age category on the left, and on the right, the percent fully immunized. And, of course, the younger age, 5 to 11, 15%, 12 to 18 is progressing. That's encouraging to me. That is up to 45%. And then, in fact, that's almost as high as the mid-range adults from 19 to 44. But you see, as it gets the older age categories, it gets higher in 65 and older, 77% are fully immunized. We want to continue that because when this started, I know the estimates were that if we got 70% fully vaccinated, that would be enough to control the infections. I think as time went on, those percents went up. Clearly, there's still risk there, and so the more we can increase the vaccinations, the better position we'll be in. And then, is that concludes that. And with that, Dr. Merrill, I invite you for your comments.
Thank you, Governor. I'm just going to add a little bit more to what the governor said about the vaccination. Our vaccination rates are falling significantly. They're approaching 1,000 a day, which is really too low. And we need to continue to vaccinate. Now is the time to prepare for the next surge, which inevitably will come. That is the best protection. We do not have a sufficient supply of antivirals or monoclonal antibodies. That is just a matter of production. We just don't have a supply that's large enough. 2 weeks ago, we had 200% over the 200% increase above the supply requests. So we need to get people vaccinated. These vaccines are extremely important. It's also important, and I want to draw this to individuals that have already had their vaccine. You've already taken the steps to go through the first series. Please get your booster. The booster is extremely important for protecting you against the Omicron variant. It gives you that extra level of protection, and that's really what you need to in order to drive your risk down with regard to becoming infected or becoming hospitalized and death. And then lastly, depending on your risk factor, you will still need to consider whether masking is appropriate for you. We'll wait and see what the CDC says for their new guidelines. But remember, there are other factors that will also go into play into this decision. So we'll wait to see what the CDC says. Thank you, Governor.
With that, we'll turn it over to questions.
How concerned are you about the BA.2 subvariant of Omicron? And do you think what type of effect do you think that will have on our situation with the coronavirus here?
Well, I'll invite Dr. Romero to handle that question. We've talked about it, but I'm going to let him address that. Dr. Romero.
Thank you, Governor. So as has been reported, we are finding these rare isolates of this. What do we know? It is more transmissible, but the World Health Organization categorized it as not more severe than the current strain that's floating around out there. The other thing is that, at least in this country, where BA.2 has already been seen, such as in New York, it's not taking off and becoming the dominant strain. So it doesn't seem to be outcompeting what is already there. So we're watching for it. We're sequencing it, both in our own state lab and externally, and it does not seem to be taking off, at least in the state. I expect to see more cases, but it's not resulting in more severe disease.
Governor, you obviously mentioned that you talked with Dr. Walensky. Can you share more about the conversation that you all had?
Well, I need to wait for her announcement today. I don't want to get in front of her, but it was given me a heads up as to what the announcement is going to be and the parameters of it. And so let's let her make the announcement this afternoon, and then we might have further comments.
Governor, what do you think of the steps President Biden has taken so far in regards to Ukraine?
Well, I'd like to have seen the sanctions move more quickly and the leading with that, I think we could have done that more quickly, and that would have been important early on. Secondly, you know, it's about the expression of the American people and our level of support for Ukraine. I made that clear in my support for them, and the United States needs to continue to do that. And so I think it's important that the president continue with the message of support. We need to continue to lead Europe into full support for Ukraine. Of course, the sanctions is what should be accelerated.
Yes? When you say sanctions should come quickly, do you mean before the invasion actually happened?
Whenever it was clear that whenever they made the announcement that they recognized, that Putin recognized Ukraine as independent, those particular parts of Ukraine as independent, that should have triggered immediate sanctions at that time. And then, of course, he moved in, and we should, you know, we don't need to hold anything back right now. We need to give the full weight of our sanctions now. Does anybody remotely have a question?
Good morning. Yeah, Governor.
Oh, go ahead.
Governor, it's Mitch at Channel 4. Question possibly to Dr. Jose Romero. And records have shown, I guess, recently that the Department of Health has known about rodents at the Family Dollar Distribution Center in West Memphis since March of 2021. ADH notified the FDA in October. Family Dollar just issued their voluntary recall last week. So two questions. The first question is why health officials did not move more quickly to address the rodents. And then one expert is calling this a failure across multiple agencies. Do you consider it a failure, given it took a year for the public to be notified about the rodents?
Dr. Romero, do you want to address that?
So thank you for that question. So the health department has been involved with this since beginning of last year with multiple visits to the facility and recommendations. We work not as a punitive system, but if we see improvement, we come back and we continue to go forward with it. So we've had several complaints after that. Each time they've addressed the issues that we've had, we raised the issue to the FDA and asked it to be moved to their to a contract compliance in October. But we continue to follow afterwards with investigations making sure that they were trying to remedy the situations. So we have not turned our back on this. We've been following it all along, I think that we've moved this forward as necessary.
Any other questions?
Yes, Governor Hutchinson, Brett Raines, 4029. Are there any concerns how this Russia-Ukraine situation could affect us here in Arkansas? I know we're all watching gas prices, but in terms of exports or importing certain key items. And also, secondly, could you expand when we say getting back to more normal sense when it comes to the pandemic? Expand on what that means to you and should mean to us.
Well, when I say normal state, I'm referring to what we've already done, which is we've gone to weekly reporting. We really rely upon hospitalizations as a key metric, and that is you manage the space in the hospital, you make sure that we have adequate care, and of course, when management, it's about vaccinations and increasing the population that should be vaccinated. Everybody knows what to do, so it's very similar to other disease control that you educate the public responds to that. So it's about education and vaccinations versus mandates and beating the drum on it every day. I think we're to the point that everyone knows what to do and they know how to protect themselves. So that's the normal state. In terms of the impact on Arkansas as a result of Russia's invasion of Ukraine, of course, the concern would be the supply chain. The concern would be energy sources, and it's a global marketplace. So what happens in that part of the world does impact prices here in the United States. And even though the sanctions might have that impact of restricting the supply chain, it's absolutely necessary, and I think Arkansans understand that we can't stand by idly, even though there is a cost to every action that is taken. And so it's necessary. We'll bear up on this, but it also emphasizes that we cannot be dependent on foreign sources for energy. And we need to strengthen the supply in the United States versus curtailing it. That's happened during the Biden administration. We need to make sure that Europe has more access beyond Russia for energy supply. And so we've got to work together as a global community, our free countries, to protect the independence and the supply chain of critical resources such as energy. And so let's do what we have to do to support Ukraine in terms of the sanctions, in terms of our other efforts, and let's manage our supply chain separately from that, and hopefully this administration will be more aggressive in increasing our supply of energy.
From SWIFT, and would you say things like the Keystone Pipeline or something that need to be restarted?
As I've said, let's put in place the strictest sanctions that is possible. If that is a sanction that is on the table and historically has been done, it ought to be utilized as well. I think you have to understand the repercussions of that, and so I want to make sure before, you know, we jump there that we've studied exactly what that means. And I know the administration has, but I would want to look at that more carefully. But I think the message is, let's not hold anything back. Let's put that is on the table at any point. Let's do it now. Thank you all very much.